away from the football, obviously well publicised. You've had some personal problems. You've been into to rehab. Mm. Do you mind talking about that?
No. I'm fine now, David.
Right. Okay. Well. How did you get in that
state?
How did
I crack up?
How did you get in that state? I've known you a long time, and I wouldn't have necessarily...
No.
I suspected, because we'd had a conversation, and I knew you were missing not being involved in football and things like that, and I thought, he's gonna go on the pop, I can see it, but... Yeah. You know, knowing you, I thought, well, you'll be fine with it because, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't, obviously, the first thing was it wasn't to do with the drink. It wasn't like that at all. You know, I had a few problems for a number of years and I tried, I even had it, you know, after the, why do you think I kept crying all the time? You know, because the one thing about it is that I always had issues in my mind, in the back of my mind, but when you're a footballer or when, you know, like everybody looks at you as a character and this, that and other and a laugh and a joker, sometimes, you know, that they don't take the serious side of you. When I go home, I'm a different person. And you put a wall up. And I was getting worse. And like you say, then when I came out of football and you know, I went to Darlington, the assistant manager, and then that came out, and I was still working for Sky Sports at the time. And you know, I was still, you know, I had demons in the back of my head, really. And they just, and then just to cap it all off, when my dad died, it sort of. It was a nail in the coffin. That, but I had a number of problems for a number of years, and I just sort of tried blanking it out, putting a wall up, trying to tell myself that I'm all right. Mm-hmm. I'd come into training, Ian Ashby would be saying to me, "What's up with you today?" and this, that, and the other. So I'd have good days, I'd have bad days, but because I was doing something and I was training every day, it blocked it out for an hour or so, 2 hours. But then when I'd be driving back home to Leeds after training down the motorway, I'd be in floods of tears in my car. You know, it was just. It was a strange thing, and depression's a very, very strange thing. And until you get it, I reached rock bottom, Dave. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't want to wake up in the morning. I didn't want to be around anymore. and the one thing that it was embarrassing for me really to come out and obviously moving back to Hull and the problems that I had was that, you know, Ian Ashby was probably the one who was there for me, because if it wasn't being him, through him. And that, obviously, Andrea, you know, catching me on the stairs and that, and you know, this other lady who saw me on the kitchen floor was, mm-hmm. you know, it was. I just thought, well, what am I doing? You know, what am I? You know, this isn't right. This isn't Dean. And I wanted Dean back again. I didn't want, you know, not the Dean or not the lad on the football pitch. I wanted Dean back. And I just said to myself, my dad won't. You know, he'd give me a good hiding if he saw me now. So Ian Ashby got me on the phone to Clark Carlisle.
Uh-huh. From the PFA,
Professional
Footballers Association.
Yeah, to Sporting Chance, where I ended up, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
When you say demons, how long had you been carrying that round?
Since I was 13. Right. When my mum and dad got divorced, since I was 13. Always had problems, always had... things happening, you know, when I was going out for a drink, you know, the more that I went out for a drink and say if you got drunk, you know, the more you thought, thinking, you know, you're thinking, your mind works overtime, the things I was doing when I was going home, not physical towards Helen or all like that, but abusive, being, you know, and taking it out basically on her and the kids, and enough was enough, and I thought, well, if I don't do anything about this, you know, I'm going to lose everything. And like I said, now when I talk when I do my guest speaking now, and I've got one in Grimsby on Friday, and, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm quite happy to talk about it to anybody, because it's not just footballers, it's not just, you know, I was very fortunate because, you know, I got the professional help. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people who's got a lot of depression in the world, and the first thing that I had to identify is to be honest with myself, mm-hmm. and to come out, because it was quite embarrassing walking around Morrison's and going, oh, that's him, you know, that's not the footballer, that's him who's tried killing himself, you know, and I was ashamed. Josh, was it Huddersfield, and I told the boys that it's coming out in the press. I told little Jordan, I went to school, and, you know, tell me if anybody says anything. I had to ring the school up and, mm-hmm. and tell the headmaster that just keep an eye on Jordan, because, you know, he might get the mickey took out of him or whatever, but, you know, the kids are quite strong characters, they've seen a lot, and they understood, and that's that was the hardest thing for me, was coming out there, to be quite honest with you. And when I did, you know, it was like a weight being lifted off my shoulders, and the 26 days were the best 26 days of my life, to be quite honest with you.
What did they do in there that sort of put you back, you know, back just, to Dean and away from Dino, as it were?
Just talked. They say you go in there and they don't call you Dino, they call you Dean.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of famous people being in there, and they don't call them by the nickname, they call them by the first name, you know, yeah. And that's the one thing they do. They don't look at you as that. You're just a normal lad to these counsellors, these psychotherapists.
Uh-huh.
You know, Julian and James West and Peter Kay. You know, Peter Kay, I said that about Peter Kay.
Not that Peter Kay.
No, he's taking the mickey out of me. But he's the organiser with Tony Adams, who's the big organiser of it. And
the ex-Arsenal and England captain, yeah, that's Tony him, Adams, yeah, he set it up. Because he had problems with alcohol, didn't he, and addiction and
everything.
Yeah,
there's been a few. There's been a few in there. Obviously, can't name them, but there's been a few in the house. And what you end up with three other sports people who have different... Now, I was in with two alcoholics and a druggie.
Yeah.
And obviously I was in for depression and alcohol dependent, really, because the problems I had is that when I had a problem, I went for a drink to try blocking it out. So I become alcohol dependent. You know? And then what happened, what he said to me was that, when you're drunk, you start thinking and you think you're blocking it out and you don't. And then when you wake up, you're depressed. And when you're depressed, then you want to go back on the drink again. And that's what I was doing. I knew I wasn't an alcoholic because, I don't drink every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that sort of type, and I don't get me wrong. I like, people have seen me in Hull and having a laugh and a joke and that. Mm-hmm. But that's just about my character and what have you. But when you go in there, you go to AA meetings,
mm-hmm.
which is the best thing that I've ever. I just thought that AA meetings were down and out people, and no marks, you know, and all that, as you see, but the. They're the most nicest people you'll ever meet. Just normal, genuine people. We'd go to an AA meeting on the Tuesday. We'd go to an AA meeting on the Thursday, and then we'd go to an AA meeting on the Sunday night. All different venues, And it was it's brilliant. It's mm-hmm. it's like being in a pub without any drink, Because people openly, and what you do, you end up sharing. You end up telling people your problems. And what you do is you go in there. People are listening. They'll know if they have been to AA meetings that you get a chair. Which is the chairman, and then you get somebody who's obviously an alcoholic who's been in sobriety
mm-hmm.
For 15, 16 years, or been in sobriety for a year. And and what they do is they tell their story, and I guarantee that every story that I listen to, I identified right. with their story. And then what you do, you put your hand up and you tell them your story if you want to share. If you don't want to share, you pass. You say, but the hardest thing for me was that you have to say, I'm Dean, I'm an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
in the meetings. And then everybody goes, hello, Dean, they don't judge you.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit embarrassed at first because, not being rude to the other three lads I was in, but, I was more famous than what they was. So the people in there knew who I was. But then when I looked at, I can remember going to one meeting in Guildford in London, and there was a well-known pop star there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And he's been in sobriety for 30 years, and they carry on, keep going. So that helped me that way, by sharing and discussing things.
Mm-hmm.
In the Sporting Chance Clinic, you have one-to-ones, you have group meetings, and basically just, them people, James West, my psychotherapist, probably knows more about me in 26 days than my wife does in 20-odd years, because she just openly come out. And he used to say, you'll come out of this clinic and you can chop your head off and there'll be no closets in the skeletons in the closet, because you've expressed your feelings, which I'd never ever done. I never spoke about my dad dying, never spoke about my mum and dad getting divorced,
mm-hmm.
never spoke about anything. I never spoke about me, when I was, problems if I'd been in football, and, the disappointments. And the one thing that you've got to do, you've got to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I love to do now is, which I never used to do hardly, I listen. Always listen to people, because there's always somebody who can help you, and it's the best thing that I ever did.
Are you stayed off the drink now? Are you?
No, I can go for a drink, but I don't get drunk anymore.
Right.
They call it as a social drinker.
Yeah.
But I don't get upset. I've not cried since I've come out of rehab.
Right.
Which is nearly 3 months.
Terrific.
Two or three months. I can talk about anything. I can talk about my dad. I speak to Margaret, my dad's wife,
uh-huh.
and she's still obviously devastated. I talk to her and try helping her.
So what would you say to people? Because when the story first came out, we were getting texts on the programme saying, well done for Dino, it's highlighted the problem. I get the black days of depression and the black dog of depression and everything like that. What would your advice be to people who may be, you know, now going through a similar
thing? I would say it's obviously people on the street who are depressed, is that do not go see counsellors, do not go talk to, because the best thing in the world, Dave, is to talk to people. Because if you bottle things up, it's just going to come out eventually, and then you're going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. You know, I just thought, well, I don't need help. I don't need this. And the one thing about it, I never spoke to my mother for 3 years. You know, things like that where nobody knew about. And you've got to talk. You've got to listen to people. You've got to express your feelings, because there's a lot of people in the world who, you know, don't get me wrong, I have good days and bad days now. You know, I meditate. I know it's stupid, but I meditate in the morning. You know, where they teach you to meditate, and it is quite funny. I look at it now; it's quite hilarious. You having a laugh? Me meditating? Do you know what I mean? But they teach you to wake up in the morning and think of good things instead of bad things. And don't get me wrong; I have good days and bad days. But I don't go out and get drunk and say, "Well, I'm having a bad day today. I'm going to go get drunk." I want to get back to work. I want to get back in coaching. I want to get back on Sky or whatever it is, and this, that, and other. Now I know that I'm mentally firm and I'm okay. That's what I want to do, and I want to get back to that Dino again. You know, I am a lovable character. I am. I don't hate people. If people don't like me, then don't talk to me. I'm not bothered about that. Not everybody likes you. I think that what upset me, I was listening to your programme when you weren't on it, and they were talking about the money and the fame and the and this, that, and other.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do. You can have all the money in the world. It doesn't matter. It don't make you happy.
Yeah.
Do you know, and people saying on your programme, I can't remember what it was on Sports Talk, saying, oh, well, he's earned this a week and he's earned that and he's had 20 years of football. And well, what's that got to do with it? Like I said, this bloke in Guildford, you know, he's 80 million quid in the bank. Still got problems.
Yeah.
So, and people say, oh, because you're not famous anymore. Well, I'm famous. I can't walk around the streets and people not. That's never going to change.
Yeah.
You know, especially in Holland. But the more that I was on Sky Sports, I was on television more than I was a footballer.
Yeah.
So I spoke to Chris Kamara. He said, you're never going to get away from it. But that's just the way it is, but I'm not rude to people. I talk to people, and people come up and ask me for my autograph or buy me a pint. I buy him a pint back. I'm not, that's where I've been all the time. But people judge you a little bit, you know. They start judging you and they start thinking that they know you. And that's what, you know, started to annoy me a little bit, is starting, oh yeah, because he scored the goal at Wembley and everything should be rosy in the garden. What a lot of rubbish, you know, because the one thing you do is that, you know, You learn to deal with things now. I learn to deal with things now. I don't shout and bawl. I stayed at Andrea's and Paul's last night, and I have a laugh with Paul when he gets angry. I say, just breathe and listen to the birds. You know? So you go outside and breathe and listen to the birds. It's great, honestly. It is. It's great. It sounds weird, but it helps a little bit, you know.
Dean Windus is.
You can't believe I'm talking like this.
No, listen, son. I've always admired you. And I think I admire you even more.
Yeah.
I am genuinely touched listening to you and talking to you. When I go on Twitter
and I have a laugh, there's a lot of people who ever got you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, somebody ever got me saying, oh, you think it's a joke, don't you, this depression? Like,
no.
Do you know what I mean? But I don't react. I go, well, if that's what you think about me, then fine. But until you've been in that place, you know, until you've been there and seen it, done it, and the one thing that you always say, look, you know, you have to reach rock bottom to come back up again. And that's what I'll do. I'll bounce back and I'll come back.
It is an amazing story. Let's talk to David, if you don't mind, Dino, on the programme. He's got something he wants to talk about. David, thanks very much for your call. What would you like to say to Dino?
It's good to hear that you're getting back to your normal self, Dino.
Thank you. Cheers.
I was in a similar position as yourself. I've been off the drink 26 years now.
Well done.
And you can do the same.
Well, it's not, like I said there, Dave, it's not, it wasn't about the drink with me. I can go, like, since I've been out, I've been, you know, I've been to weddings, I've been to, you know, to christenings and things like that. I've been, and I've been and had a drink, but, you know, I can deal with it. I can deal with it with people, you know, not being rude, but, you know, the two lads who I was in with, they have to stay off the drink because they ended up hiding whiskey bottles in the house and things like that. That becomes a problem then. Do you know, the one thing about it is that, you know, if you are an alcoholic, obviously, which you was, and
yes,
and there's, yeah, the situation you had, they always say, my counsellor said that, you know, if them two lads in who I was in Sporting Chance with, if they have one drink, then that's it. They'll be back on it again, and you'll know more than me that's what happens. But that's not the same with me. I can come out of here now, I can go across the road and have a pint and then go home.
Yeah, good on you.
You know, that's the way it is, and that's, you know, that's the way it's going to be. I'm never going to be, you know, I'm always going to go out and you know, be, you know, social with people, socialising with people, because that's the way I am, and that's what makes me happy. If I didn't go out for a drink, or go out with my mates, or go out with whoever, you know, then I won't be happy about doing that. So why should I do that if it's not going to make me happy?
Dean, I still go to the pubs and I have a soft drink.
Yeah.
Get slossled, get drunk, just to chat the women up.
Right.
And when I came off the beer 26 years ago, I went to AA as well, and I held my hand up and said, "Yeah, okay, I'm an alcoholic." And as you say, that's the first sign.
First step. Yeah. Well, yeah, you got the 12-step program, haven't you? You do the 12-step program, and we got to four steps in it. I never drank for nearly 2.5 months and it didn't bother me one bit. Obviously, you can't drink when you're in Sporting Chance anyway. So, but it didn't bother me. And then when I came home, you know, I didn't have a drink for another couple of weeks. That's just the way I felt at the time. And then I felt as though I was ready, you know, mentally stronger.
Yes.
And now I'm just a social drinker, you know.
David, thank you very much for your call. Good luck to you. Appreciate your time.
Cheers, Deb.
Thank you very much.
All right. It was nice to talk to you. We're getting sort of loads and loads of response, some football and things like that. Football, sort of, you sort of put football in perspective there, really, talking about life and, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't
matter. No, there's one thing. Listen, I love playing football, and I don't miss playing anymore. Do you know, Do you know the one thing that all footballers will tell you? Probably 90% of footballers will tell you that they miss the change rooms. When you've done it for 20 years, and you're waking up, and I was obviously the clown in the change room. Every football club have been at, and the laugher and joker. But I was always the serious one as well. When I went out on the pitch to be, you know, my dad always used to say, you know, when you go out there, be the best player. You know, I try to be the best player, and that's all I tried to do. I tried to contribute to a team that I played in. And I was like doing me talk now, and when I do my guest speaking, is that the compliment that I had from every manager was, and it can't have been a lie, because every one of them said it and said, look, if you play well, then the team will play well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love that responsibility. I love that pressure on me, because that spared me on a little bit. But you know, when you've been in the change rooms for 20 years, and then you wake up in the morning, you've got nothing. You know, your phone stops ringing. You know, it's things like that. And I was very fortunate that I got the Sky work, which I really enjoyed, and hopefully if I don't get back into coaching or whatever, that'll be the case again next year. I've actually spoke to the producer, so hopefully I can get back on there as well.
And time is a little against it. I'm going to ask you sort of one question on the football front. Would you like to be back in at Hull City? What are your chances of maybe being involved, say, with Phil Brown or something like that?
Yeah, I've always spoke to you about Dave, haven't we? I'm not telling any lies. I'd love to have come back. You know, I wanted to come back when Nicky was manager.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to come back as a player as well, and I achieved that. So certainly, I put my CV into the football club. Not saying that I'm going to get the manager job. I don't think I would do, but if I got the opportunity, of course I would. You know, I'm a different person now. I know where I'm at. You know, I know what it entails to be a manager. I've been assistant manager. I know what that was. But any coaching, you know, kids, you know, you mentioned the striker coach, people keep saying striker coach, reserve team manager, anything I'd do, I want to put something back into it, and why not also, you know, the club that I love, you know.
Dino, it's lovely to see you. I wish we'd got more time with you, but time is a little bit against us today. All the best. thanks very much for coming in. If you don't mind, we'll come in another time and we'll have an hour and open up the phone lines and we'll chat to people, because I think there's a lot of inspirational stuff there, and you know, we'll talk football, we'll talk about the other stuff as well. Dean Windus, our guest on the programme.